Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzi, daf Nun Vav, and we're starting about the 10th line with the word Masiv. And today's daf is sponsored Lila Nishmas, Maris Mirim Sar, Bas Biakav Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah, Elila Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Yontav, Rabbi Asher Anshul, his Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we're right in the middle of a Sugya. Our Mishnah had said that if one ate Trumas Maaser of Demai, he has to pay Karen and a Chaimesh. The key over here is the Chaimesh. Now, Rabbi Lazar and the Gemara had asked that this seems to be on the level of a Deraisa, and Trumas Maaser is only Midrabanon. So Shmuel answered Rabbi Lazar's question that the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who's Machazak is Rabbanon, like a Deraisa. Now, Rav Sheshes asked on this from Pidyon Maaser Sheni. We know that when being paid the Maaser Sheni of Demai, one is allowed to transfer the Kedusha from silver onto copper, but when dealing with regular Maaser Sheni, one is only allowed to do so in a pressing situation. We see from the case of Maaser Sheni of Demai that the Rabbanon were not Machmir. And along came Rabbi Yosef and answered Rabbi Sheshes' question that Rav Meir holds that the Rabbanon were Machmir only in regards to eating, but not in regards to Pidyon. So now we have another layer of questioning. Moshe Ravina Ravina asks, someone who buys bread from a baker who's an Amma Aretz, which means that the wheat that was used was Demai, and he has to take off Maaser. He's allowed to separate Maaser from hot bread, which means fresh, onto cold, which means it's not fresh, it's from yesterday, and vice versa as well. He can even separate from one tefus onto another, which means from one mold or from one shape of bread onto another shape of bread. Different Meir, that's Meir's opinion. And now we analyze. We understand that when Meir tells us that we could separate Maaser from Tzinenes onto Chama, that's just like what Rabbi Lai says. Rabbi Lai tells us, how do we know that if someone separates from something that's not so good onto something which is better, meaning from inferior produce unto superior produce, that's still valid truma, even though l'chatchila he shouldn't do it. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, and you will not bear sin when you separate its choicest from it. And that tells us that if a person separates the not choicest produce as truma, he's going to have a sin. Now, what do we learn from here? If it's not even considered truma in the first place, when he separates from inferior produce, why would he bear sin? Mikan, from here we learn, when a person separates from raw unto yafe, that it's valid truma. And it's the same thing when he's separating from tzinenas alchama, not fresh bread, onto fresh bread, that tells us that it's valid truma, even though it's raw and yafe. But what about in the second part of the statement, that he's even allowed to separate from one mold onto another, or from one shape of bread onto the other? Well, we have a problem. Maybe he's going to end up separating from something that's chayv on something that's pater, or vice versa. And why is that? Because we're talking about demai. And demai, again, is produce that we're not so sure whether or not it had meiser separated from it. And when we're dealing with bread that's defusim harbe, it's separate molds or it's different shapes, we're assuming that each defus was made with grain from a different Amma Aretz, and every Amma Aretz is a suffix. Maybe he took off meiser, maybe he didn't. And that's why you're not allowed to separate from one defus onto another, because it's assumed to be coming from different Amma Aretzim, and each one is its own suffix. And since we see that Rav Meir allows one to do so, it means that even when dealing with eating demai, Rav Meir is not machmir. And again, that's a question of Rav Yosef, who said that Rav Meir is machmir when we're talking about eating demai. Now, before we answer this question, we go back to all the other Manda Amrim. Amr Abaye Abaye says, Rabbi Lazar Shaper Kakashale, Rabbi Lazar, who's the first one in this line, he asked a good question on the Mishnah, Ushmuel Loi Shaper Kamshanile, and Shmuel did not give a good answer to Rabbi Lazar's question. Why is that? The Kashale Rabbi Lazar, Misib De Shemayim. Rabbi Lazar asked a question on our Mishnah, and he was talking about Misib De Shemayim. We know that if a person eats Truma, he's Chayav Misib De Shemayim, and that's what Rabbi Lazar asked a question on. Umishanile Shmuel, but was Shmuel's answer on him? Misis Bezdin. He was answering for Misis Bezdin, because Shmuel had told Rabbi Lazar, yeah, don't worry, Rabbi Meir holds that the Rabbanu were Mechazik Devrem Kishal Torah, but the case that he brought was from Mrs. Bezdin, which is a case of Get. Del Mashani Mrs. Bezdin de Chamira. Maybe when we're talking about Mrs. Bezdin, the case of Get, Ashes Ish, were more Machmir and they were Machazik Devrem Kishal Torah, but not necessarily in the case of Misib De Shemayim. Now, continuing on down the line, Rav Sheshes Loi Shaper Kamaisiv Lei, Rav Sheshes, who had asked a question on Shmuel, was not asking a good question, De Kamri Inhu Misa. Both Rav Lazar and Shmuel were talking about Misa. Rav Lazar was talking about Misib De Shemayim, Shmuel was talking about Misib De Adam, but they're both talking about Misa. Umas Rav Sheshes Lav. Rav Sheshes was asking a question from a Lav. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat it in your gates, meaning you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim without being paided. And Rav Sheshes was asking a question from a Mishnah that talked about Pidyon of Maaser Sheni, and that's only on the status of a Lav. So how is he even asking on Shmuel? However, Lamai the Maaser Rav Sheshes, in regards to what Rav Sheshes asked, even though we just said it's not such a good question on Shmuel, still Rav Yosef Shaper Kamashanile, Rav Yosef had a good answer to it. And so now finally getting to our question that we started out today with, El Ravina, what about Ravina's question on Rav Yosef, Ad Maaser Menachtoim, from the case of Nachtoim, L'sayei Lemi Palter? Why not help him from the case of Palter? That now we have a different Mishnah that says, Alkech Men Palter, if a person buys bread from a Palter who's a wholesaler, Maaser Mikol Tfos U'Tfos. He has to separate from each and every Tfos, from every shape and every mold, Devar Meir, that's what Meir says. So clearly we see from this Mishnah, the Rav Meir is Machmir when we're talking about eating. Why did Ravina bring the case, which is a question of Rav Meir? Why not bring this Mishnah, which is a Raya for Rav Meir? Elamai Eschol Meimar. So what are we able to say? That the reason why Ravina didn't bring this question as a Raya for Rav Meir, because Palter betrayed Tlosa Gavri Zavin, a Palter, a wholesaler, he definitely buys his grain from two or three different Amarats Batsim. In that case, everybody would hold that a person would have to separate Meiser from each and every Tfos because it's being purchased from different Amaratsim. And as we said, each Amaretz has his own suffix. Maybe he took off Meiser, maybe he didn't. And we're not allowed to separate Meiser from one Amaretz stuff onto another. And therefore, this wouldn't be a Chiddush. This would be according to everybody. And that's why he didn't bring a Raya for Rav Meir from this, because again, it's not a Raya for Rav Meir specifically. Everybody would hold this. Well, we could say the same as well in the case of Ravina did bring Nachtoim Nami, even in the case of a regular baker, Mechad Gavar, who's oven. We could say that he buys from one person. And since he's buying all of his produce from the same Am Haaretz, even though you're buying bread from this Nachtoim and he made it in separate tefusim, still you could separate from one tefus onto another because he definitely brought his produce from the same guy. In this case, wouldn't be a question either. And so we actually end off with a question on Ravina, showing how Ravina's question is actually not really a question. Now, lastly, just to explain something we said previously, Rav Amar Rav explains that Shmuel Shaper Kam Shani Le. Shmuel is actually answering very good on Rabbi Lazar. Shem Misa Ba'ilam, he was just bringing from a general case of Misa. Our original question was that Shmuel's answer on Rabbi Lazar's question wasn't valid because Rabbi Lazar was talking about Misa B'dei Shemayim and Shmuel was talking about Misa B'dei Adam, which maybe is more Chamer. And now Rav is answering that no, Shmuel had a good answer because Shmuel was just talking about Misa as a whole. Rabbi Lazar was talking about Misa, Shmuel was talking about Misa, and therefore it's a valid answer. And for the past couple of dafim, we digressed from the discussion of Aina and we were discussing other things, and now we're back to Aina. The Mishnah says as follows, the following things, when they're sold, do not have issues of Aina. Avadim, we're talking about slaves, Vashtaris, when a person sells a shtar. For example, if Reuven has a shtar that Shimon owes him $100, Reuven could sell that shtar to somebody else and that other person could collect the loan. There's no issue of Aina there. Vakarkais, when a person sells land, Vakteshais, and Hektish, when the Gizbar sells Hektish, there's no Aina there. And furthermore, Elim Tashlim Kefel, there's no Kefel if someone steals it, and there's no 4 or 5 payment. If the thing that was stolen was a cow or a sheep and it was shechted or sold, there's no dalad v'hei. Furthermore, Hashem Rechinim ain't a nishba. Hashem Rechinim is not going to make a shvu on these. Hashem Rechinim is not going to have to pay. However, Rav Shimon says, when we're talking about kachem, that he's chayv, he's responsible for them. For example, if he says, I take upon myself to bring a carbon, and he designates an animal to be used as that carbon, and then something happens to it, so he has to separate a new animal for a carbon. In these cases, yeshlan aina, they do have a din of aina. If, for example, the carbon becomes puzzle, and now he's selling that animal, there is a din of aina over there. However, if he's not responsible for it, if he pointed out a specific cow and he said that cow is a carbon and then something happened, he does not have to separate a new cow. So Elan I know, there's no din of I know there. Now Rabbi Huda says, Afmerkel Sefer Torah Behem Margolis, even if a person sells a Sefer Torah, animal, or a precious stone, Elan I know, there's no din of I know. Amr Loi the Chum told him, Loi Amru Elas Elu, they only said these things. And we're going to discuss this in the Gemara. So first we begin by asking Manan Emili, how do we know this? How do we know that these things don't have I know? The Torah Bonn, because we have a Braisa. We quote the Pasuk that talks about I know, that says, when you sell something to your fellow or you buy something from your fellow, there's an Isra of Aina. And we already had this pasuk previously. Now, what do we learn from here? Davar nikna miyad liyad. This is only talking about something which is purchased and moved from hand to hand. As the pasuk says, Aikanoi miyad amisecha. Yatsukarkais, this excludes land. She'ena metaltalin. That's not metaltalin. It's not transferred from one hand to another. Yatsu avadim. This excludes avadim. Shokshul karkais. They're compared to land. And yatsu shtaris. It excludes a shtar. The chsiv, it says, Chisimkru memkar. When you sell something, Shagufai macher. That's only talking about that you're selling the actual thing. When you're selling your bike or your bat or your toaster oven, the gufa kanoi and the other person acquires the thing that you're selling. Yatsu shtaris, this excludes shtaris, she'en gufan macher ve'en gufan kanoi. The actual shtar is not being sold or being acquired. It's the loan which is being sold. As we explained, Reuven has a shtar that Shimon owes him $100 and he sells that shtar to somebody else. The other person is not actually buying the piece of paper. He's buying the loan which is written in the piece of paper. Ve'en an umdim el raisha bahen, and the only reason why he keeps the piece of paper is as proof so that he could collect the loan. But he's not buying the paper, he's buying the loan. And Mikan Amru from here, they said, if a person sells his pieces of paper to a basam, to a perfume maker who needs the actual paper and he doesn't care about the shtar itself, yashlam aynaz, and there is a din of aynaz. Asking Rav Pshita, isn't that obvious? Of course, if you sell a piece of paper for the piece of paper, even though it's actually a shtar of a loan, there's going to be a no over there because we only care about the paper and not about what's written in it. The answer is, lafikum Rav Kahana. It's excluding Rav Kahana's shita, damru holds, ain't no le prutais, that there's no aynaz when we're dealing with small amounts of money, just prutais, kamashma, the chedesh is, yash aynaz le prutais, that there is aynaz even when we're dealing with prutais, meaning just selling a piece of paper, there could be aynaz over there. Continue to explain the Mishnah, we had said hekdeshais, if the gizbar is selling something of hekdesh, there's no issues of aynaz. And how do we know this? Amar Kava, because the pasuk says, achiv. As the pasuk concludes, al toinu ishes achiv, one man should not be ma'ane, his brother. And that tells us, achiv loy hekdesh, that there's only an issue of aynaz when it's between two brothers, meaning two regular people, but not when hekdesh is involved. But now, maskele Rabbi Mamel asks on our previous limud, kol echad chsiv yaday mamashu, is that really true that anytime the pasuk says yaday, it's referring to a person's actual hand? Because that's what we're learning out of the pasuk. How do we know that aynaz is only on metaltalin? Because it says, aykanai miyad amisecha, and only metaltalin are nikne miyad liyad. But who says this is true? true. Elamata, what about the following? The pasuk says, "V'ikachas kol artzim yadai." He took his entire land from his hand. Hachinami dechol arab yadai havenoket la. Does that mean that all of his land was in his hand and the other person took it away from him? Elam rishusai. It means that he took it away from his possession, from his rishus, not physically out of his hand. Hachinami, so it's over here when we're talking about aina rishusai. It just means when you're buying something from somebody's rishus, you shouldn't be ma'an to him. And so it's not specifically metaltalin. So Gemara's response right away is that not so quick. Whenever the pasuk says yadai, it doesn't mean actually his hand. But we have a pasuk. If the geneva is found in his hand. And the Braisa asks, I only know from this pasuk that if the geneva is found in his hand, he's chayiv. How do we know if it's found in his rishos, either his gag, his chatz, or his karpef, then he's also chayiv? Because the pasuk says, and what do we learn from here? The only reason why the person's chayiv for the geneva being found in his rishos is because we have the words himatzei simatzei. Olav hachif, not for that fact, havamina, I would say, kol echad kasav yadai, yadai mamishu. Then whenever it says in the pasuk yadai, it means his actual hand. And v'sutan, you have another similar braisa. The pasuk says, v'nasem biyada, and he shall put it in her hand. This is talking about a man giving his wife a get. And the braisa tells us, ain li aliyada. I only know that he's allowed to put the get directly into her hand in order to divorce her. Gaga chasev kapiv minayin. How do I know he can put it into her rishos? Tamlam, because the pasuk says, v'nasan mikol makayim, that tells us he can put it anywhere. And once again, we see the same thing. Tamlam, because rechman v'nasan. The only reason why he's allowed to put it in her rishos is because the pasuk says, v'nasan. Olav hachi, if not for that, havamina would say, kol echad kasev yadai, yadai mamish. That anytime it says the word yadai, it means actual yad. So our original question is not valid. The Gemara answers, you're right. El kol yadai, yadai mamish hu. Anytime the pasuk says yadai, it actually means a person's real hand. Mishani hasam, and that original pasuk that we brought as a question, vayikach kol artzim miyadai, that's different. Delek lememar hachi, you're not able to say that he took his land from his hand because no one holds their land in their hand. El mishusai, rather, that pasuk is obviously talking about a person's rishus. But any other time it says the word yadai, it means a person's actual hand. And we continue with another question. Rabzei asked the following. When we're dealing with schiros, a rental, sometimes a rental contract for an apartment, is there an isra of aino over there or no? Do we say the Memkram Rachmana of Aloy schiros, that the Torah only talks about selling something, but not schiros, and therefore there's no isra of aino when we're talking about a rental? Dilma perhaps, there's no difference. So my answer is, when the pasuk talks about selling and there's an issue of aino, does it say a sale forever? It says a sale. And this also on its day is considered a mechira, meaning there is an element of sale when we're dealing with a rental, and therefore there's a no even by a rental. Continuing with another question by Rava asked, Chitin Vizar Bakarka Mahu. Let's say a person took wheat and he planted them in the ground and they did not take root yet. What do you say over there? Yashlam Aina, Elam Aina. Is there an Isra of Aina or no? What are the two sides of the coin? Command the Shadion Bakad Damyon Viyashlam Aina. Is it like the person threw them in a pitcher and there would be Aina? The same way if a person took kernels of wheat, put them in a pitcher and sold them, there would be issue of Aina. So too, if he takes these kernels of wheat and puts them in the ground and they didn't take root yet, so there would also be an Isra of Aina. I don't want Patlinu Al-Gavara. Perhaps they're considered bottled to the ground because they're ready in the ground. As we said in the Mishnah, there's no issue of Aina with land. So we explore further. Hey Chidami, what's the situation over here? Ile Medamer Ihu, if you want to say that the fellow, the seller himself said, Shadai Bashisa, that I put six in the ground. Basuzadi and Adim came of Amri and they said, Doloi Shadaba El Chamisha, that he only put five in the ground. Well, Vamarav, Rav says, Kold Av Shav Midr Shav Mishkal Shav Minyan, anything that goes by measure, weight, or count, Afilu Pachsuk De Aina Chayzer, even if it's less than Aina, he has to be Chayzer, because it is considered Mekach Tois. If a person claims that he sold six and there's only five in the bag, so that's not considered Aina, that's a Mekach Tois. The whole sale is a mistake. So obviously we can't be talking about this case. El rather explains the Gemara, Damar Ihu, the seller said, Shadai Ba Kedibah Ila, I planted in this field what's necessary for the field to grow proper. Vigloi Milsa Deloi Shadai Ba Kedibah Ila, and it was revealed afterwards that he didn't plant enough grain in this field for it to grow properly. And once again, repeat the question, Yashlam Aina, Inlam Aina, do we say there's Aina in this case or not? Kamanda Shadai Bakad Damyon, Vyashlam Aina, is it like he put it in a jug and there would be Aina, again because the grain did not yet take root, Aidon Batlun Wagavara, or perhaps we say that it's bottled to the ground and there's no Aina. Another question in regards to the same case, Nishbain Alein, Ain Nishbain Alein. Would one have to make a shvuah about this, like a shvuah of Madin Mektas, or not? We know that Ain Nishbain Ala Karkais, that one does not make a shvuah on Karka. Once again, it's the same sides of the coin. Command the Shadion Bakad Damyon, Nishbain Alein. Is it like he just put him in a jug, and therefore one would have to make a shvuah on them, I don't batlun agavara, Ain Nishbain Alein? Or maybe we say that they're bottled to the ground, even though they didn't take root yet, and he would not make a shvuah on them. And one more question, Aymer Matiron, Ain Aymer Matiron. Is the carbon Aymer Matir these things, or not? We know that new grain is not to be eaten until the carbon Aymer is brought on the second day of Pesach, and so with the Aymer being brought, matter these kernels of grain to be eaten. So the Gemara asks, hey Chidami, what's the situation? Ida Ashrush Tanino. If they had already taken root in the ground, we already have a Mishnah about that, and Ida Loy Ashrush, if they haven't yet taken root in the ground, ground. Tanina, we have a mission about that as well. Now we have a mission that says, if grain took root before the carbon was brought, matiron. So the carbon being brought now is matter them to be eaten, even though they're not fully grown, they just simply took root, he's allowed to eat them. And if not, they didn't take root yet, they're also to be eaten until the next carbon is brought. So this can't be our question. The Gemara says, you're right. He had already harvested new grain, so we had these new kernels, and it's before the carbon was brought, so he's waiting for the carbon to eat these kernels, and then he replanted them before the was brought. And then the carbon was brought, and passed over them, and they hadn't taken root before the carbon Eimer. And here's the question. Is this person allowed to take these kernels out of the ground and eat them before they grow? Is it like he just put them in a jug and the Eimer was matter them? Because the Eimer is matter all grain to be eaten, and this is considered grain in a jug, even though it was in the ground, but since it didn't take root, it's just considered like it's in a jug, and so he's allowed to take it out of the ground and eat it. Or perhaps since it was in the ground, it's bottled to the ground, and he's not allowed to eat this grain until the next carbon Eimer is brought next year. I think my answer is teku, let it stand. We're going to have to wait for Eliyahu to come and answer this. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up the market team to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.